home building and remodeling show. Let's go! Welcome everybody to the home building and remodeling show. My name is Chris Kirby and I'll be your host. I am the owner of three construction companies on the Alabama Gulf Coast. The show is about residential construction. We're going to cover topics of home building and remodeling. Are you thinking of doing a remodel or building a home? Are you a contractor looking to improve your knowledge base or grow your business? Have you ever done a remodel project or built a home? There were so many things you wish you knew or that you could have done differently during the process. Then this show is for you. We break down the process of building and remodeling and how to have the best results during your project. Whether you're a DIYer looking for tips, someone looking to hire a contractor to do a project, or a contractor looking to expand your knowledge base or your business. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Stay tuned. We kick off the show with my thoughts on home building and remodeling. I'll share best practices and talk about some of our experiences in business and out in the field. These shared thoughts and lessons learned are meant to help you on your very own journey. Let's go. Second relationships, number two on the four key relationships that you need to maintain to be a successful bathroom remodeling contractor is your suppliers and vendors. You are going to have to get your materials from somewhere. The more of a relationship you establish with a vendor or a supplier, the better that relationship is going to be maintained throughout the duration of your contracting career. And you want to make sure that you are openly communicating because and allow them, if you have a place of business, if you don't, that's fine. But if you do have a place of business, allow them to come in and talk to you. Take them to lunch. Have just an open conversation at lunch. Allow them to let you know when products are coming out, the new products and designs and different things like that. Vendors and suppliers love to be able to do that. They love healthy relationships with their contractors, and that leads to a better result for your project. You're probably going to be able to save some money. They're going to let you know when deals are happening on certain products, and the timeline, you'll start to maintain a better timeline and be able to produce a better quality project by having that a good working relationship with your vendors and suppliers. They're very, very much a key contributor to a successful bathroom remodeling project. And for you to have good relationships with them, to have supplies when you need, to have open communication if there's a delay, to get deals when they roll out, all of these things help your client have a better project as well. At the end, that number one relationship is being maintained because the vendor has your back and is taking care of you and your supply needs and timing and deliveries and things like that. And so you can better keep your timeline and budget in check with your client. Number one, client relationship management. Your client is a key relationship to maintain. Your number two relationship to maintain is that of your vendors and suppliers. And we'll move on to number three. The number three relationship you need to maintain in order to be a successful bathroom remodeling contractor is that of your subcontractors. Most remodelers do not possess a key license in every category that they need to successfully remodel a project. For instance, I have a home builder / remodeler's license. The state of Alabama requires you to have a state home builder's license to build houses and to have that license as well to do remodeling projects over $10,000. So that's just Alabama state specific. Some of you may have different rules and regulations in your state. However, that does not give me the license to perform electrical work. It doesn't give me the license to perform plumbing work. And those are two very key subcontractors that you are going to need. Maintaining relationships with your subcontractors is just like maintaining relationships with employees if you have them. It's taking care of them, making sure they get paid on time. If there's a delay in payment from the
client, or it could be as simple as a client is needing to move money over, so the payment gets delayed by a day. The last thing you want to do is have your sub expecting money and you can't get it to them. Maintain that relationship and making sure that they're going to prioritize you as the primary contractor and take care of your needs as long as you are taking care of them, giving them plenty of work, open communication, paying in a timely manner. And sometimes it's even nice to have a get together and invite them to it and become close with your subcontractors, because they are absolutely key to maintaining a successful relationship with the client. Again, they're going to be in the client's home. Just like the vendor or supplier, some of those vendor or suppliers, they may come out to the project to take a look at when stuff gets delivered, or if there's stuff that was damaged in delivery, a good vendor or supplier, they're going to come out and take a look at that on site. Those people are interacting with the client as well. So it feeds back into that number one relationship you need to maintain, that of the client. Number two, your vendors and your suppliers. Number three, your subcontractors. All of those people are going to have an individual relationship potentially with the client. Having the subcontractors taken care of is a huge factor in the number three relationship that you need to maintain to be a successful bathroom remodeler.
And now we move into Shop Talk. It's the portion of the show where I bring in a co-host and we cover trending topics in home building and remodeling. Hope you enjoy. Let's go.
Because if you don't do that part at the beginning, then you're having to cheat stuff and, I mean, make it work.
And yes. And it don't look right. Because you start
being harder and time consuming.
Yeah. And so you start at the bottom with a half inch.
And then at the top, your tiles got that big and it looks.
And it looks crazy. Look good. Yeah. All right. So then you've established that you're level and you're zooming through it. What about grout lines? How do you figure out the proper grout line size, or do you talk to the client about that too?
Usually talk to the client about that. Nowadays, they want the least grout lines as possible.
Yeah, they're wanting super thin. And then there are also some actual...
Now, the larger format tile, the bigger you can get your grout lines and they don't look bad, but any smaller format...
with fat grout lines, don't look right.
Not.
And then they also pick their color, right? You're in there, you're doing your tile, you do your floor, you do your walls, whichever way, right, you prefer to do first, whichever way you learn to do first, you do your floor, you do your walls. Talk to me about the trim. Well, or is that the...
So pretty much just the options we offer is either Schluter trim, tile trim, or bullnose. So... that's part of the layout process.
Or pencil, right?
If you're doing Schluter trim, that goes up before your tile because your tile overlaps the backing.
So if you have, and it could be the metal, they've got the, I call it plastic, whatever the, you know. But anyway, you're putting your Schluter trim in. How's that attached? Well, essentially, you've got three walls to, let's just say you've got three walls to a shower, two side walls and a back wall. That Schluter trim is going to come on your sidewalls wherever you're going to stop your tile, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go ahead. So before you actually install tile, you're setting your Schluter trims, your Schluter strips, your trim pieces. Mm-hmm. How's that attached? That
true? Thin.
Okay. But it is attached via thin set.
Yes. It's okay. Got like a...
it's not screwed in.
Got an inch and a half to 2 inch backer on it that you push into the thin set.
Gotcha. Okay. You got to get that in there. Now, we'll go back and we'll kind of hit on timelines and talk through the timeline of all of this. But you've got your tile set. It ran to meet your trim. Everything's done as far as the tile. What's the next step? Okay. So we're in a bathroom. We're not just doing the shower. Would you do the shower and the shower floor, that tile, before you do floor tile?
Mm-hmm.
You would.
Yeah.
And is there a reason that you would want to do that?
That way I know where to stop the floor tile.
Okay. Because you're going to set your curb really.
Yeah, you're going to it.
Okay.
And then that way, if you do like, some people like tile on the face of their pony wall.
Yeah.
Some people like sheetrock.
Just a, yep.
Especially when it's, now, if they're getting tile, I would do the flooring first and then run the tile on top of it.
Okay.
But if they're doing sheetrock, you know, do sheetrock, run the flooring to it, then your baseboard covers.
Gotcha. Okay. You run your floor tile. Now, can you put LVP in bathrooms? Or is that becoming more common?
Yeah.
You don't like what? LVP? LVP. Like overall or just anything? Yeah, me either. I'll be honest with you. I'm not, right? But it is popular and some of the more...
I mean, it's easy. I mean, it's great stuff to work with, but I'm just seeing in like a lot of like high traffic areas and stuff and places that have had it for a few years, it's not holding up.
Yeah,
it's not.
You get a lot of puzzling.
But if it's, you know, just like a couple that lives in a home with no kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say for us, we have it now too. But we bought a wider plank. And to me, that makes the difference. The actual cost of it and the material, you can get the cheapest of the cheap. And that stuff is...
You get what you pay.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
If you do, even in a high traffic area, if you don't have a lot of money to spend on flooring, I would prefer glue down over...
Glue down is way better than floating.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing, people get afraid of the glue down, right? Because it's different. It's not just as easy as snap and pop and lay, right? But if you know what you're doing, we lay glue down. And I prefer that in a high traffic area. I've seen less issues with that compared to, like, even in our building right now, we've got, you know, luxury vinyl planks, and they're, you know, where you're rolling your chair and all of that, it's a huge difference. But in a bathroom, for the most part, it is supposedly, it's water resistant, not waterproof. But do we put a barrier down underneath?
Yes.
We pretty much always do now, even though some of it comes and it has the backing on it, we still put a barrier down. And
at minimum, a 6 mil plastic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least. Now, if a customer wants to invest more in like a better underlayment.
Right.
That's more soft and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are nice. It's time consuming laying that stuff. But it just all depends on what the customer wants. And if you want a better quality floor with that stuff, that's what you need to go with.
Yeah. All right. You've put in your plank or you've put in your tile. You got your floors done. Do you put in vanities before or after?
Vanities are towards the end of the project.
Okay.
We go in, demo, you know, we did the shower.
Yep.
Got the flooring. We usually put protectant down on that. But also, before we do the flooring, we skipped over this. Like to get any of the sheetrock work done.
Yeah, your patching and all that done, right? If it's, especially if it's going to take, if it's larger patches and multiple coats.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Get all that.
Do that. Do your texture, paint. You know, the less you can do on top of your floor, the better.
The better. Yeah. Because if you come in there after the fact and you still have to sand, it's a nightmare. Even if you've covered it up, right? It is a pain. And,
especially if you put tile in with grout and the white powder gets all in your grout lines.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare to get clean.
Yeah. I also would recommend, if possible, and depending on time of year and season and all these different things, but shutting off the HVAC system if we're in a large, you know what I mean? If we're in a large area and we're going to be doing a lot of sanding and drywall patching. Now we're going to move into the portion of the show where we talk interior design. We're going to bring in an interior designer and we're going to talk trending design and products. Hope you enjoy. Let's go. Well, on another one, I'll call myself out again. I don't do any work at home, okay?
So I need it's to very go to tough. Your house.
Yes.
Dr. Roma.
So check this out. We have lights over our mirrors in the vanity lights. Then we have an overhead light. But the shower,
actually does not have a light in it. And it's actually darker I need to go in and put in a light over the shower. I just haven't done it. But I can tell you it makes a difference.
It does.
And where the lights are located, the light placement in our master bathroom is terrible.
Yeah.
So I can speak to how important it is for lighting to be proper in a bathroom remodel. Yeah.
And that is one thing about remodels that people don't realize is that home wasn't built for you.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't built with you in mind. So when you're going into a remodel, it is, you know, you're looking at it as, how is this now going to benefit me?
That's right.
And yeah, that's what absolutely. It needs to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So lighting.
Awesome.
The next one after that is soaking tubs.
Soaking tubs. Okay.
Soaking tubs. People are more into, you know, relaxing, work-life balance, health, what that means to us. We're starting to realize, you know, running the rat race at home. You know, you want to go home.
But listen, you're not talking about garden tubs, right? So let's clear that up.
Let's not mix those up.
All these homes where people wanted garden and jetted tubs and things like that.
That was a trend.
And then our company, over the past 7 years, have been ripping those out and putting these big old walk-in showers in its place.
Yes.
And now we're kind of, it's not the same because it's not a garden tub.
No, it's not.
But we are going into the soaker tubs, right? Back into
We don't need this tub to fit four people like a garden tub.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to fit one person comfortably too if you're really friendly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that also speaks to one of the other trends that we were going to pop onto, and I'm just going to hit it a little early, is aging in place.
Okay.
So one of the big reasons why garden tubs are coming out is because of, like we were talking about pre, this is baby boomers, getting up into that age bracket.
Sure.
Getting in and out of those garden tubs, I don't want to do it.
Right.
I can't imagine anybody else wanting to do it. I mean, I've got my glass of wine in one hand and a slippery surface down there. No.
Yeah.
So again, it's going into aging in place. Soaking tubs, you have a tiny lip on the edge of it. So much easier to get in and out of. And especially if you want that muscle relaxation, it focusing more on that, you know, massage aspect of it. That's what we're getting to.
So let's dive into some of the aging in place, because it's a longer topic than just the list. With the aging in place, you're basically making it to where as they get older and they may eventually need a walker or a wheelchair or things like that. Mm-hmm. Let's hit on a couple of the specific things. So for us, we have put in things like the seamless entry into the shower.
That is huge. And not only for being ADA compliant if you're a rental home or what have you, but also I've worked with a lot of clients whose children have disabilities, you know, getting them, walking them into a shower with a zero entrance. And then, of course, as you get older, and we all don't want to think about it, but it's good to think about it.
It is.
We want to be able to take care of ourselves in our own homes.
Yeah.
That's a big, big part of why aging in place has become so important. And if you have the space that will allow you to stay in your home comfortably, why wouldn't you invest that money into it?
Absolutely.
Versus having to move to somewhere else and spend additional funds or go, you know,
right. Live with family. And some of the additional things besides like the ADA aspect, like grab bars and things, is like sometimes lowering the countertops to the appropriate height, you know, and different things and features like that.
Yes.
Even when you do the walk-in showers that are seamless, we're also putting in
benches.
Yeah. And what is popular, and I love it, is the, I think they're more like a teak. The fold down.
Yes.
I love those. Yep. They look good. You know,
they're also great for space. So if you are needing to use a walker or a wheelchair and you have to bring it in the shower with you, it's much easier to get your chair or get your walker in there, fold it down, and then sit down versus maneuver around a stationary bench.
See, and I wasn't even thinking about the space saving aspect. I just like the feature.
It is a cool feature.
Okay. So aging in place.
Yep. That's one of the big ones right now. We are also seeing a lot of large format tiles.
Yeah.
Large format tiles.
Oh, goodness. And you guys are blowing my mind with the tile that we're getting into our showroom.
Yes.
And then you showed me, what did you call that? A match? What was it?
It's called book match.
Book match.
So book match basically means when you have tile, and I'm just going to use this, which is funny because it is trends and influences.
There you go. Nice.
When you're looking at a piece of tile that's not book match, it just means that the pattern kind of goes everywhere.
Yeah.
And usually in a bundle, there's about 4 to 6 tiles that have their own pattern.
Yeah.
Well, when they're book matched, it means that you actually have tiles that when you put them side by side, the picture goes across it fluidly.
Yeah. And after we get done recording, I want to go and show the audience how cool, because y'all blew my mind with that.
Yes,
because it was not two of the same pattern tiles or color. It was a floral pattern. Two completely different, and it matched.
It's not different patterns. It actually is just different colors.
Okay.
It's the patterns. Yeah,
yeah. The pattern's the same, but it looks different because of the colors. Got you.
Yes. Okay. So that's huge, but not even on a large format scale for like showers. We talked about this at market. Is, you know, most people are looking at for a shower wall to save money, a 24x42 or 16x36. Well, now they're doing and getting better at it. The porcelain sheets.
Gotcha.
And I don't know if you've seen those yet or not. We've got some at the wholesale distribution center. So a whole porcelain sheet basically can redo one shower.
Wow.
It can do the back wall and the side walls, and the pattern flows across the whole shower.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. Now, you do have to have, you know, some knowledge and take some training courses like you all supply before you start to dive into those kinds of things.
So is this kind of like the Onyx where, you know, Onyx, it's a whole sheet that we stick in onto the walls?
Sort of, but it's porcelain.
Yeah.
So Onyx, in its capacities, only has, it can only do so much.
Yeah.
Porcelain, with the way that they inkjet everything, it will replicate the look of marble.
Gotcha.
I mean, it will fool you. It will. I'm a designer, and I can look at small sheets, and until I turn it on its side and realize that the vein doesn't go all the way through, sometimes I can't tell.
Wow.
So that's how amazing that stuff is.
Awesome.
So yes, so large formats is definitely a huge, huge hitter. And that helps with grout lines too.
Yeah.
And aging in place. You don't want to be scrubbing your shower.
Well, we're getting that a lot too. And why people are going to the alternative materials such as an Onyx shower system is because there are a lot of people who cannot stand to clean grout. Mm. And so the larger format, you have you don't have as many grout lines,
exactly.
Right? So, okay. Makes sense.
And all these, for the most part, have, you know, we've talked about before, rectified edge.
Yes.
So very minimal grout lines. So large format, sustainability is another one.
Okay.
That hit a little harder on the West Coast. It's slowly easing its way over here to the East Coast. But, you know, having a sustainable product, you know, for tax benefits, but also, too, for the future.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be selling that home or if your children are going to be moving into it, that makes a huge impact.
Right.
On overall your money, but also the environment. I'm a huge green person. One of my favorite countertop companies is Cambria Stone.
Yeah.
They recycle even their own water. They recycle their own quartz dust.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to spend the extra money for a company who cares that much about my future.
Absolutely. And sustainability, you know, and design and everything. So it's more about the energy efficiency and cost savings as well. People don't understand that something like a bathroom can save you money when designed properly. Thanks for joining us today. As always, we are grateful for our listeners and your continued support. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on social media via Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Get more info at our website, www.thehomebuildingshow.com. And as always, remember who we are, the Home Building and Remodeling Show.